ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि. ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ. So, Hari Om, everybody. Last time where we left off, we were on verse 6. But I think towards the end of the class, I did say that I would like to go over the verses from the standpoint of the Balvihar teachers. So, Premsai is not here today, but anyway, he can listen to the recording. And Tripti, you too, of course. And of course, Calgary, whenever we take Bhagavad Gita or any text for the children. Oh, there's Premsai connecting. Good. So it's hi, Hari Om Premsai. I had said that I would explain. We are on verse 6, but I'm going to go from verse 1 to give you guidance as to how the children have to be taught. So how, because you need to water it down. And I just want to give some guidance as to how Balvihar should be taken if you were to take this verse and this chapter. But in this chapter, you will get an understanding of how the other chapters are to be held, have to be presented as well. So when we start with the 15th chapter, of course, we tell the children that, yes, it is the heart. It is considered as the heart of the Bhagavad Gita. And then chanting, it takes only 5 minutes. And of course, if you want to learn the chanting, that's nothing like it. It's only 5 minutes in the day and you can chant it and you get the benefit of having chanted the entire Bhagavad Gita. So imagine it's 3 hours chanting in that in 5 minutes, if you can give the get the merit, then why not? When we come to the first verse, urdhva moolam adhash shakham ashwattham prahuravyam. Urdhva moolam should only be taken to the level of Ishvara, God, not Brahman. So basically you will say that the root, the cause of this world is God. No need to use the word Ishvara also, but in your mind, you know, whatever the qualities of Ishvara are, you put it for God. So there is a God who is unmanifest, who cannot be seen, who cannot be touched. He's very, very subtle. And he's the one that has, he's the creator of this entire creation. And it's compared to a tree, the Ashwattha tree, the ficus religiosa, because Ashwattha means that which is changing. There's no need to split the words for them, but you can say that which is changing and yet it is unchanging. And the example to be given is of the river. So, you know, there is a Fraser River in Vancouver or whichever river, Bow River, Elbow River, whatever that you have in Calgary. And you say that it is the same river, but think about it. Is the water the same that was flowing yesterday? But the bed remains the same. So that way, this creation appears to be same because you're getting up in the same bed, you're going to the same school, you see the same friends around you, same teachers are teaching you, and yet things have changed in them. So this is how this creation is to be understood, that it appears unchanging, but it is changing. And we have to know the difference between the bed of the river, so unchanging, and the water, which is changing. And what is not changing in case of the world is God. God, who is the creator of this creation, is unchanging, but the creation is constantly changing. And depending on the age of the child, you can actually mention the body, because like, okay, last year, you know, how tall were you? You were like this much. Now, haven't you changed to becoming this tall? Every example in a Balvihar class should be given such that it resonates with the child. So school should be used as an example. You can use their body because, of course, they are growing children. So every year they will have grown so much and all that. So that sort of changes should be mentioned. This Chandasi, the Vedas, injunctions, rules. That is how it should be translated, for rules. So you can say that there is a rule that you should be in class maybe 5 minutes before the teacher. You should do your homework on the assigned day. It should be all ready for you. So all those rules, when they are followed, life will be beautiful. So you suppose just this happened just last Thursday. There was a high school kid, and he was training, and he was talking, and then he was talking to his trainer, and suddenly the trainer said, aren't you supposed to be in school in a few minutes? You should. And the child said, oh, the teacher never says anything. You can use these examples. There's a teacher. So the trainer said, no, just because the teacher is not saying anything, you should not be late. Get out of here, he said. I mean, he was already ready. He had finished his training. He said, no, you get out of here. Don't stand here talking to me. You should be on time. So those are the examples that you will give for Chandasi, like rules. There are rules. If somebody is 16 years old, they're learning driving. Hey, you need to follow the rules of the road. You need to follow that ICBC manual, whatever that driving, you know, all that. And when you follow the rules of the road, you're going to be safe. Life is going to be beautiful. So those examples should be given. Yastam Vedas, he's the wise one. So that's all. Not he's the knower of the Vedas or anything. You can say he's the wise one. Think about it. If your friend is driving at like 70 kilometers in a 50 kilometer zone, what will happen? Who is wise? You are the wise one. Then you're driving as per speed limits. So that is for children, you should never go to the level of Brahman. You should only remain at the level of Ishwara. So Ishwara is all powerful. Ishwara can give you whatever that you want. He's all pervading. All those things can be said. God. God is all pervading. God is everywhere. We should see God in the trees, in nature, all that. Okay. Now, and then Adashchodvam Prastat. So this creation is going in all directions. You can only mention heaven and hell. No need to mention the seven worlds. You can say you must have heard of heaven, hell, people talk. Okay, so those are the worlds. So the heaven is above earth and hell is below earth. So what is being said is there is a creation above us. There is a creation below us. Also in this world that we see, we see that we are humans and we see animals. Somebody may have a dog or a cat at home. You know, you have that dog, you have that cat, because you know your students. So the animal is a little bit lower than us. Plant is a little bit lower. And then in your class, I'm sure, you know, there is one who is very smart in sports. Maybe he's very athletic. So he's at a higher level than some other children. Or he's very intelligent. This person is getting 100% marks in math or whatever. So you see that hierarchy, that in the humans itself, there are some who are very intelligent, some who are not very intelligent, or some are intelligent in maybe drawing or painting or cooking or body shop. So the intelligence is there. It necessarily doesn't have to be in the bookish knowledge. He could be an athlete. That child might be an athlete and he's very good in athletics. So there is that hierarchy as well. And this creation is going because of the actions that we are performing. actions can be mentioned, but we should not go into past action. Past in the sense, previous birth. There's no need. So you say that you are doing actions and actions have consequences. So if the child is now at an age where, you know, oh, should I be smoking? Then you should give examples like if you smoke, you have the chance of getting some lung disease or something. There will be consequences for your actions. There will be, every action will bring in a result. So if you study very hard and if you write a good paper, you'll get good marks as a result. So every action will have these results. And this is how this creation is going on. So we do action and then we get a result. And then now I'm in the next grade and I'm in the next grade. And this is how this creation is going on. One thing to be explained to the children is God is, yes, all pervading. And yes, he can give us everything. But please remember that God is a well-wisher. He is not a wish fulfiller. These two words are extremely important. And the children must know that, because the children must not have an idea that, oh, if I pray, then he said God will give me anything, then God didn't give me this. So if a child comes and says, you know what, I prayed and this didn't happen, then this is what you must tell them, that whatever God does is for our good. And we may not see that, but God sees everything. So not that you just pray for anything and everything, and then you're going to just keep getting it. That cannot happen. Whatever is good for you, God will definitely give you. Whatever you need, God will give you. And you can use, don't you have loving parents? Don't you have food on the table? Don't you have a roof over your head? So all these things that you need have been provided to you. Now, in spite of this, when you're asking for something else, you may or may not get it. They need not necessarily know that, oh, in the past life you did something and now that's no. It's consider it that there is something better waiting for you. Or you didn't get marks. Oh, you prayed hard and you just think that means that God is telling you that you need to study even harder for your next test. So you'll get better marks. This is how this verse is to be explained, that you have to water it down. Now, the next one, na rupam ase tathopalabhate. Please remember this world is changing. So you know what? There's no need to pay that much importance to anything that happens. If the girl refused to go for a date with you, hey, no big deal. Even this too shall pass. Remember that. And don't you think that, okay, maybe last year in your class, there was somebody whom you really liked and it didn't work out, but are you not over it now? So this, the examples that resonate with them have to be given. Okay. So this creation has no beginning and no end. You know what? Who was there to look for the beginning? That part you use. Not this creation is in a circle, but you say, I was not there when this creation began. And I don't think I'll be there when the creation ends, and neither will you. So really, there is no proof of when this creation began and when it will end, because there is nobody to validate that. If somebody has got a little sibling, you can say, oh, see, you were there when your sister or brother was born. You were there and you're there now, you know, but there is nobody like that when the world was born. Okay. Asanga Shastra Dridena Chitva is difficult. So what you have to, there you have to tell them that nothing should affect you that much that you are unable to study. Things happen in life, okay? And hopefully with children, they have not seen anything. But as adults, you can even, I'm sure most of the Swamijis are even making up examples. You can even make up examples like, you know, I was there in school and then I like this girl or I like this boy and it didn't work out. And I'm fine and happy. So because that will click with them. So Asanga Shastra means not the part that, you know, attachment is not even there. No way you can go there for children. That's the highest. So you say, don't get too attached to anything and then give them their own example. Say as a baby, did you have a blanket? You can ask, you know, did you have a favorite pillow? Do you care about it now? Because obviously they'll know. Or do you have a stuffed toy? And then they'll say, yeah, we bought it. It's still there. I know my son had a raccoon, which I think now he's married 10 years. I think he still has it. And it's like totally old and all the fur is gone. He had it a few years ago, at least. I know he had it after he got married. I don't know whether he's got, I should ask him really. And he was only a year or 2 years old and I had bought it, you know, that time. And he still had it. So you can use that. See, you can say, oh, do you still have, but are you that much attached to that stuffed toy which you bought? So, you know, this attachment, it goes away. So there is no need to get that much attached to something which will make you miserable. Because as you grow older, you're going to drop that. So this is how this Asanga Shastrena, Dridena Chitva has to be explained. Then Tat Padam Tat Pari Margitavyam, God is the only goal and we should always do everything that will be pleasing to God. So we should be good to other people. We should not hurt anybody. We should not bully anybody, because in school, ragging and bullying and all has become very this thing. We should not be a part of it. If somebody else is doing it, don't encourage. Walk away from there. This is what God likes. This is what God will like. And that is the only thing that we should be doing. Yasmin gatana nivartanti bhuve, having gone there, having becoming good, don't go back to your old ways. Suppose so far you were doing something wrong. Now I'm telling you, in Balvihar, I'm telling you that is not what God likes. Now you be good and please don't go back to those friends who are doing that. So just at this level, this nivartanti, nanivartanti bhuya has to be explained. Okay. Tamevacha, and then you ask God for help. Oh, they'll say, oh, but you know what? This boy is so strong and then he makes me do this and all. Surrender to God. Ask God for help. There is no shame in asking God for any help. Tameva chadyam purusham prapade. Surrender to God and God alone. So every night say a prayer, oh Lord, you know, let me not be bullied by this kid or whatever like that. Yata pravrti, and that is the God from where all this creation has come. We have already seen that. So that is how this will be explained. And then going nirmana moha, these virtues. Nirmana, man should be only translated as pride. So if you are the most intelligent in the class, don't be proud. Don't look upon other children, other your classmates who are maybe not as intelligent. You must think that, okay, in studies, I am first, but oh, this person in running, he defeated me. So he is superior there to me. And don't have that pride, don't have the ego. That is nirmana. Identification with body is not to be told to them. Just say straight pride, you know, that ego that you'll have. I'm so intelligent and you all are all, you know, that I'm so tall and then you guys are short. That sort of attitude should not be there. Delusion. Don't be under the wrong impression that, yeah, you are at the top of the class and you will remain at the top of the class. Don't be under that wrong impression, because maybe next year some other child might transfer from some other school and he might be more intelligent than you. How do you know? So this moha, jita sangat doshaha, attachment, don't be attached to anything. And look at your own experience. You were attached to that stuffed toy. You were attached to a blanket. You were whatever. You like this. You like that. Haven't you moved on? Haven't you moved on? So whatever that you think you're attached to today, next year you will move on. Maybe you're attached to somebody, your best friend, your whatever. They will move on. You will move on. Things go on changing. Remember, the world is constantly changing. So your mind also will change. Think about your own mind and see. So this way, Adhyatma should be translated as homework. Your homework must be up to date at all times. So homework should not be said, oh, because my children would come on Monday, they'll come. They'll say, Mom, this is not due till Friday. I said, no, the rule is homework is due the day it is assigned, not the day it is supposed to be given. So it's not due on Friday in this house. It's due today. So it's assigned today. You do it today. After that, you can do anything. So Adhyatma Nitya should be translated as homework. Like your homework should be on schedule. If there is a test, your study should be like perfectly this thing. And don't read trash. If there are 15, 16 people, God knows what kind of magazines there are. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't want to know. But please don't read trash. Don't read National Enquirer. Maybe read a nice novel, like, you know, maybe a biography of Mahatma Gandhi or, you know, whoever, like that. Some
elevating. They're not reading magazines anymore either. It's all digital.
They're just
right?
Digital.
All social media, all TikTok, social media, all okay. Sort of stuff like that.
Then definitely say that social media you should not do until your homework is complete. You must not look at your phone. Homework comes first. Adhyatma Nitya means homework comes first. Studying for the test comes first. And if that is all up to date, then you can converse with your friends or YouTube or whatever. You want to see music or whatever. Because, yeah, that's my childhood magazines. Okay. Vinivritta Kamaha, desires. So desires they will have. So you should say that, okay, you will have a desire, but you must remember that God is a well-wisher. So just because you have a desire, you must remember that it may not get fulfilled. And you must not get dejected if it doesn't get fulfilled. And you must not say, oh, I prayed so hard and now why should I pray anymore to God? You must not say these things. You have a desire, because they're children. They will have some other desire. It's okay. It's okay to have a desire. But if it doesn't get fulfilled, no blaming God, no blaming anybody else. Don't blame somebody. Oh, he did that. That's why, you know, I couldn't win the race, or he did this or that. No blame game. That's Vinivritta Kama. Dvandvair Vimuktaha. Rising above the pairs of opposites. So rising above means, you say, you in life, when you go ahead in life, you will get some things and you will not get some things. Do you, and you can ask, is there something that you did not get that you wanted? Yeah, for Christmas, I wanted Nintendo, but I don't know if there is Nintendo anymore. This is all from my kids. There is, oh Lord, okay. So you wrote to Santa and you wanted a Nintendo, but Dad never gave you a Nintendo. That's okay. It's okay. This is what we bring them to, that equanimity, what we talk about. Sukhadukhe same kritva. This is how it is to be taught. Dvandair vimukta. Sukhadukha, same thing with dvandair. So sometimes there'll be things that will make you happy. Sometimes there'll be things that will make you sad. Okay. It's okay. It is going to pass. Even this too shall pass. That must be used. That it's a very Vedantic saying, even this too shall pass. Okay. Gachantya sangnehi, gachantya mudaha padamav. This is how you will reach God. The undiluted reach the goal eternal. So those, when you have these virtues, when you don't take pride in whatever that you have, when you are of a calm mind, or when things happen your way or don't happen your way, which is definitely going to happen. Don't think that everything will be as you want, but also don't think that everything is going opposite of what you want. That is not possible. They are two sides of the same coin. If you want only heads, not possible. If you say, oh, I always get only tails, not possible. Head and tails are going together. So it is not possible to have one without the other. And only such a person then becomes a favorite of God. Okay. Does God play favorites? That'll be the question. No. God doesn't play favorites, but there are these virtues which God exhibits also. Please remember. So if you are exhibiting these qualities, if you're practicing this, and all need not be practiced, at least take up one. So you can ask, which one do you think you like? You have 3-4 children, they'll say, oh, okay, I will not take pride. I was taking pride in this. Then I will, okay, then you hold on to that. Other one will say, okay, I get it or not get it. I'll be, so give them one virtue to hold on to. Because I remember, like Swami Ramakrishnananda said last year, he said, there is that cream on the milk. You just pinch it and pull. All the others will follow. The whole cream, that whole layer of cream will come. So even for us, we can just pick up one. Every other thing will follow. They're like siblings, you know. So you pick one nirmana. You say, okay, this is what I'm going to practice. Others will follow. or dvandvair vimuktaha. That is what sukha dukhe samay kritva I'll follow. Okay, others will follow. So that way also the children can be told that you don't think that you have to do all these together. Just do one. Which one does appeal to you? Okay, then you pick up that one. To you, okay, you pick up that one. You pick up that one. That way. Okay, now we are on the verse number 6. And I told you, that's how it started actually. Na tad bhasate surya na shashanko na pavakaha. So at the adhyatmic level, and that is the only level that you will tell the children, that God we cannot see God with our own eyes. Okay? Or neither can we understand him through the mind, because all your knowledge is coming through the mind. But God is not that sort of a knowledge which will be known through the mind. And pavaka is speech. Okay, so for us, adhyatmic, but I told you, eyes representing all sense organs, Shashanko is the mind because it's the deity of the mind, and fire is the deity of speech, and speech representing all the organs of action, which means that no matter how much action I do, this is for us, no matter how much action I do, I cannot get liberation, God, for us, liberation. So karma can never give liberation. And I've said that many, many, many times. And this is what also Bhagwan means at this level, that the speech representing the organ of action cannot reach me. That means any action done by any organ of action, you cannot reach me. You cannot walk to me. You cannot, handle me. You cannot. So that is what is meant. And I told you there were three levels. So the next level is Adi Bhautik. So Adi Bhautik here, Hindu philosophy says that there is the Surya that we see, the sun we see in the sky, which is inert, but there is a deity behind that sun, which controls the sun. This is what we see in Kunti's life. See, Kunti invoked the deity of the sun and she got Karna. So there is a physical, there is a deity which... It's these deities, in Gurudev's words, they are like the ministers that have been appointed by the prime minister. They're the deities. So they actually report to the prime minister. They have been given limited powers. Like we have the home minister, we have the defense minister, we have the environment minister, we have this minister, finance, economics, whatever ministers. So these are the deities. And by saying that Surya and the sun, moon and fire cannot reach me, Bhagwan is saying at the Adi Bhautik level, these deities also cannot reach me because I am the one that has empowered them. And so they cannot. And Gurudev's, again, very simple example, which, you know, his examples, they appeared very simple. But as you go in further in your studies, you realize how profound they are. The flashlight can never see its own batteries. The source cannot be seen. Okay. So this is what is at the Adi Bhautik level, where this deity cannot see, the deities cannot also reach the supreme consciousness. Pure consciousness. Then there is an Adi Daivik level, which is even above that. So this Adi Daivik, even though the sun is illumining the entire world, what is to be understood is that light also is a borrowed light from the pure consciousness. Moon is a secondary borrowing because moon has got no light of its own. Even we know that, like in physics, the moon is borrowing light from the sun. Okay. So the sun, that's why we have always given you the example that even though there is a sun in the sky and the sun is illumining the entire cosmos or the earth or whatever the worlds, to validate the sun, a pure consciousness, a conscious sentient being is required. So my eyes are actually more powerful than the sun, because my eyes are being powered by that pure consciousness. So me as a conscious being only can, but only means not me only, all of us, we can validate the sun. That is what is meant by the sun cannot validate us. The sun will illumine all the inert matter, but the sun cannot validate consciousness. Okay, so these are the three levels that this is to be understood. The when it comes to Surya, sun, the sense organs, the those who want to indulge in the senses will value the sense organs. Now we are taking it all together. So now sun representing the sense organs, indulgent people value the sense organs. The rajasic people who are, you know, who are always with a to-do list, they value this pavakaha, because why? They are the organs of action. So the rajasic people will value those who are dynamic, who want to do one thing after the other, one thing after the other. They will value the organs of action. And the sentimental people value the mind, because oh, mind, oh, take care of the mind. Oh, he might feel hurt. Oh, I feel hurt. Oh, I feel this, I feel that, you know, all that. By saying that na tad bhasayate surya, na shashanko, na pavaka, Bhagwan is saying is devalue all these three things, because you cannot reach me through that. So when you're valuing your sense organs, you cannot reach me. I am the one who is to be most valued. So what is to be most valued, you cannot reach through the senses. Why are you paying so much attention to the senses? That is the point there. Then why? Because you know, I want to indulge in this, and I want to indulge, I want to see movies, and I want to hear music, and I want to, and so much importance is given to the senses. So don't give that much importance to the senses, because they cannot reach the supreme goal. Don't give that much importance to the organs of action. I did this and I will do that, and I do. You cannot do anything to reach the supreme consciousness. So devalue the organs of action, devalue the sense organs, devalue the mind. Devaluing the mind is devalue the ego. Nirmana. That is what, that's why Bhagwan said, Nirmana moha jita sanga doshaha. Because it is the ego that is saying, this is good, this is bad. Who says, I'm reading a book, beautiful book. It's from the Vedanta Society, you know. They said, there is nothing good and there is nothing evil. There is nothing bad. Because what is good for one person is evil for another person. How do you say this is good and how do you say that is bad? Very beautiful, beautifully written, you know, spiritual something. Anyway, so that's what this is. Like, there is nothing good in the world and there is nothing evil in the world either. Because what is good, it's like the saying is there, one man's meat is another man's poison. Right? That's why Gurudev has given garat sale. That is like poison to us now. Now we don't like it. And don't people buy from garat sales? They're jumping up and down. Yay, I wanted this. I got it so cheap. So that's what is good? Was it good or was it bad? It was bad for you because you got tired of it, looking at it or whatever, and you're now ready to give it up. And the other person is jumping with joy. What is good? What is bad? There is nothing. There is nothing like good. There is nothing like bad. It just is. And so the first line, this is what it means. Ultimately, for us as seekers, this devaluation is extremely important. Not to be told to the children. They let them value. They have to work hard. That is what we tell them. You have to work hard because that's how it is. But for us, devaluation. Yat gatva na nivartante. Having gone there, one does not return. Why? Because you have now to reach that post, you have devalued your senses to zero, because they have to actually come down to zero. So you have no sense organs when you've reached there. You have no organs of action. You have negated them completely. You have negated your mind completely, and you have reached a place where you have no sense organs. So there is no guidance. There's no eyes. If you don't have eyes, who will guide? There is no organs of action. How will you come back? You can't come back. There is no mind. How can you come back? That's why yad gatva na nivar, extremely important quarter. This I've told you many, many times. This is what Bhagwan is constantly telling Arjun. You come to a place from where there is no return. Don't aspire for the heavens. Don't. Yat gatva na nivartat dhama parama mama. And I explained dhama. It is a place or a place of knowledge. When you explain it to the children, it's God. Just God. So by, please understand that through the eyes, you cannot reach God if you want. And why should I even reach God? Because that's where you came from. That is your source. Verse one, source is God. Okay, any questions? Okay, so let's move. Our sadhana is therefore to drop the sense organs and the mind. Now, who is this our? Who is this me? Bhagwan explained that this world, he explained, world has come from the creator, what this world is, urdhva mula badha shakam, and then adashchodvam prasthatastasya shakaha, and then this world is mithya, it is false, and how do I transcend the world is by becoming nirmana moha jitta sanga doshaha, and then the last one, I'm at a place where your sense organs are no good, your mind is no good, and your organs of action are not good, so drop them. But who is to drop this? Who is to do all this? Bhagwan has not said. So now the topic of jiva, I told you this chapter deals with jiva, jagat, and ishvara, all three. So jagat he dealt with, now he's dealing with jiva. Who is supposed to do this sadhana? Who is supposed to become nirmanamo? Who is that jiva? That he has not explained. He said, nirmanamo, who should do it? Then we say, oh, maybe I should do it. Then who is this I? Who is this I? This is what now Bhagwan is coming to. Another, every verse is important in this chapter, but another important, who reaches that dhamma is very important. Mamai vaushro jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanah manashashthanindriyani prakruti sthani karshati. An eternal portion of myself. Note that the M is in capital, at least in my copy it is. I hope it is the same. Okay, good. Myself, having become a living soul in the world of life and abiding in prakriti, draws to itself the five senses with mind as the sixth. Okay, so first for the kids, please note that we are a part of God. That's it. We are not separate from God. We are a part. This is what Bhagwan is saying. Mama eva aushaha jiva. Jiva. Okay, it's my part alone. So that has to be told, that we are a part of God, and therefore we should behave like God. We should behave with the dignity that God would behave. Would he be, you know, hurting others? Would he be insulting others? Would he be bullying others? No, he doesn't. So we don't do it either. We are a part of God. And it is sanatana, it is eternal. Why? Because God is eternal. If we are a part of God, then we are also eternal. Simply. And then it attracts to itself. We have these sense organs that we have now gotten it when we were born. That's it. Now we go ahead. So mama eva ausha jivaha. So this part, this ausha has to be understood. The first thing is, this is one of the things which the Vishishta Advaitins pick up. And they say, see, Bhagwan himself said we are a part of God. So that's what Vishishta Advaita is. Vishishta Advaita, qualified non-dualism, qualified. It's non-dual, but it's qualified by saying that I'm a part of God. That's what they say. So this part has to be understood very well. What does it mean when Bhagwan says it is a part? So we have seen this portion. We have, especially those of us who are studying Vivek Churamani, there are two theories. One is a theory of reflection, which has been said, but I will explain again. And just in the Friday's class, we saw Bhagwan Shankaracharya giving us the example of the jar, the water, and the reflection. And he said that the one who is foolish thinks that reflection is real, but that reflection is not real, because if you remove the jar and if you remove the water, that reflection merges with the object, with the sun. And no matter what, whether the reflection is there or not there, the sun is, nothing is happening to the sun. Okay. So the reflection can be considered as a part of God, of sun. It's a reflection. So that's the theory of reflection. And for us, the body is the jar and the mind is the water. And in that mental pool, we have seen this idea many, many times, in that mental pool reflects the pure consciousness. Why? Because the pure consciousness has the capability of getting reflected. And because it is very subtle, it only will reflect in a subtle medium. Example, wood, log of wood on the beach and a silver shell. A small silver shell will reflect the sun, but not the huge log of wood, because it doesn't have the capability. Therefore, the gross body can never reflect the pure consciousness. There can be no reflection in the gross body. But when the reflection falls in the mental pool, a reflection, it has the same qualities, attributes, like the original object, like pure consciousness. So it has its own consciousness and it has that light of awareness, which is now reflected into the body. And then the body appears to be alive. The body is inert, please remember. But I'm speaking, I'm moving my hands, and it appears like the body is alive. It feels like I'm alive. But the body is appearing to be alive because of that light. And the example which I have given many times, Bhagavan Shankaracharya's only, if there is a very dark room, you keep a bucket of water at the door, the sun reflects into it, and that reflection reflects, sends light inside, and the room is lit. So the room is the body, okay, which is appearing alive in the reflected light of the reflection. It's reflected light. It's not direct light. Okay. The next one is space. Avachinnavada. One is Pratibimbavada. Pratibimbavada is theory of reflection. And the other one is Avachinnavada, which is the theory of space. So pot and pot space. It's from Chandogya Upanishad. And it is, I think, have you done that portion? It's coming in Vivek. If you have done, either we have done it or it's coming. So the pot space, it is coming, I think, next Friday. Okay, so there is a pot and there is a space inside, and we call it as a pot space. But when you break the pot, the space will merge into the outer space. And so we can say that the pot space is a part of the original space, but actually it is not. It is space itself. It is not a part of the space. Okay, see, there are three realities, three levels of realities. One is the absolute reality, one is the transactional reality, and the third one is the illusory reality. These three words are very important. So there is a paramarthik satya, there is a vyavaharik satya, and there is illusory, there is a word for it. A company. So these are the three. Now, let's take pot and space, okay? So the
Pratibhasika Satya. Pratibhasika
Satya. Pratibhasika Satya, correct. Thank you. Pratibhasika Satya. So that's the illusory reality. So if we were to take the example of pot and space, the absolute reality of the pot is clay. Absolute reality. Because the pot can be broken and made into something else. Okay, but the transactional reality of that pot is the pot, because that pot can be used. It can be used to store water, it can be used to store milk, it can be used to store coins, anything. So the absolute reality is the clay, the mud. The transactional reality is the pot itself. And the illusory reality is when I say this is my water pot. That's an illusion. Why? Because that water can be changed, then somebody else will say, no, 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 it is my milk pot. Somebody else will, no, no, it is my coin pot. It's my, you know, I store coins in that. So these become the illusory reality of that pot. But its absolute reality is clay. So for us, our absolute reality is Bhagwan. So Mama Eva Ansha Jiva, Bhagwan is the absolute reality. Pure consciousness is the absolute reality. And the transactional reality is the ego. Why in the transaction I say, I am speaking, I am walking, seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, doing. So that I, that is doing all these things, is a transactional reality. In the world, while we are conducting business in the world, we need the ego. We need that ego. We need the identification with the body. So that is a transactional reality. In our case, the illusory reality is dream. That's an illusion. Okay. So when Bhagwan says that the jiva is a part of me, like the Vishishta Advaitins, they say Bhagwan himself said, so the part is also real, and Bhagwan, of course, is real. But Advaita says, can the part be really real? Can there be a part in infinity? This is where Advaita Vedanta comes in. So to understand this part in infinity, what we have to do, have you all understood the two theories? Okay. Clear? Terence is smiling. Do you have a question, Terence?
No, I think I just have to like take time to process it all. That's all. But it's very interesting. Yeah. Thank you.
I understand. So maybe you can attend the Friday class if you have time. Okay. So anyway, so these are the two theories. And just like that reflection, you can call it as a part of the sun. But is it really a part of the sun? It's not. Or the space, the pot space, the space inside the pot, you can call it as a part of space, but really it is not. Really it is not. So the second interpretation, or the next interpretation of this going deeper, is that can a part be a reality in infinity? And why do I say infinity? Because Bhagwan is infinite. Pure consciousness is infinite. That is not negotiable. It cannot be negated. It is the word of Shruti. So it is infinite. Now, to understand this part of it, the closest example to pure consciousness is space. Because space is the subtlest of all the elements. I've told you, we can never see space. We only see light. We presume space. I move my hand and then I presume that, oh, there is space, therefore I could move my hand. Okay, so space is the closest to, it is the first element that came out of Maya also, and it's the subtlest, and it will be the last at Pralaya time. Space will be the last to merge. All the other four will merge first, and then space will merge. Now, in space, we have parts in space. Okay, so we have said north. This is northern part, this is southern part, this is eastern, and this is western. So we have this four. That's where news comes from. North, east, west, south, news. These directions, are they really real? That is the question. That is to be understood. These directions we have imposed, superimposed on space, taking the upadhi of the sun. Why, when east is to be described, what do I say? If I have to explain, if somebody asks me, what do you mean by east? Or if a child asks me, east, what is east? Oh, in the morning when you get up and that direction from which you see the sun coming up, that is east. So what we have done is on this infinite space, we have superimposed the upadhi of the sun. And with that, we say, oh, if the sun is coming out from this side and this is east, then the opposite to it is west. And to its right is north, and to its left is south. But actually, north, east, west, south, can they be really real? They are not real. They are not real. So a part in infinite, a part is real in a finite object. So in the body, which is finite, a part is real. There is a hand is a part, leg is a part, nose is a part, eyes is a part, hair is a part. All these parts are real. In finite objects, part is real. But in infinite object, can a part be real? And therefore, even when Bhagwan says, Mama eva aunsha jivaha, understand that the jiva is false, is mithya. It is experienced. Mithya is that which is experienced but is not there, like a dream. Dream is experienced, but really it is not there. Mirage waters are experienced. snake is experienced, but it is not there. That way, this part is not there. There is no part. There is only infinity. There is nothing else. Any questions? Okay.
Jeji, why would why would Krishna use the term portion or part in this particular?
Very good question. And you know what? I knew there was something else I had to say and I was forgetting, and good, thank you for reminding me. Okay, so the reason that Bhagwan is bringing in this jiva part, there are two reasons. One is that, see, if we were told, it's like, I've always told you that from tamas, you cannot go to sattva directly. You have to go via rajas, you know, from, so steps. So if suddenly I, who is totally established in this body, who totally thinks that I am only this much and this much and this much and I'm not there and this and this. Now, suddenly, if I'm told that I'm infinite, it will be very difficult for me to understand. Therefore, Bhagwan gives a step. This is a step up. Jiva is a step up. So what Bhagwan is saying, instead of considering yourself as the body, consider yourself as a jiva. Jiva is my part. Consider yourself to be a part of me. That's why Dvaita, Vishishta Advaita and Advaita, these are also steps. First, you consider God as different from me. Allowed, Dvaita. Then you evolve. You should not stay there. You know, we enter school in kindergarten. Do we completely stay in kindergarten only all the time? No, we move up the ladder. So, okay, we started with Dvaita. There are people who ask me in my class, they say, why did our parents tell us that God is there and I should light a lamp? Yeah, because that's where you have to start. I also started like that one. I thought God was there. There was the altar and my mom said, you have to light a lamp, everything. Okay, that's where I started too. Okay, so we start there. Then we move on to this part, to this jiva part. That I am a part of the Lord. I'm a part of the pure consciousness. Okay. And the other reason that is being told is because Shruti says pure consciousness has no antakarana, no mind. There is no sukha dukha. Hey, but I'm feeling all this time. How can you tell me this is all unreal? That's a question that comes. Like, are you telling me that, you know, I felt so happy when this thing happened, or I felt so sad when this thing happened, and now you're telling me it's all false and nothing is there? So to understand, for us to step up, Bhagwan says, okay, understand that whatever is being felt by the jiva, and the jiva is my part. So step up. And then he will, that's why we are explaining, jiva bhuta sanatanaha. So this jiva, we have to think. We have to think that Bhagwan, because we are now in the 15th chapter, that's why we are thinking this, is that Bhagwan is saying jiva is a part, but that is why the jiva aspect has been brought in. Because suddenly from a limited, finite individual that I have thought myself to be for births and births, now suddenly to say you're infinite, there is no sukha, there is no dukkha, there is no this, there is no that. It's very, very difficult. So yes, you are experiencing sukha and dukkha. Yes, you are. But who is experiencing it? There is a part called jiva. There is a middle ground. And then when this jiva concept is introduced, what happens is people also realize that this jiva is going to be traveling. This is what now Bhagwan is going to bring next. That this jiva is going to travel into the next world. I know that this body is going to perish and I know that my body will get cremated, but something is going to travel and that is what jiva is. So this jiva should have a good life afterwards. So I should do good deeds today. That is another understanding that we have to have, which will now, it will come in the next verses. So this is why this jiva concept has been introduced. This is why Bhagwan is now explaining who is. And also the question is jiva, jagata, ishwara. These are the three points in Vedanta. So jagati explained. So who is jiva? who is the one that should be reaching? Who did he say to, yat gatva na nivartante? Who is it? Is it the body? It can't be the body, because we see the body getting cremated here or buried here, whatever. So there is something else. Then what is that thing to explain that jiva concept? Okay, any questions? We'll stop here for today. We'll go on next time. Does that answer your question, Prem Sai?
Thank you, Jayaji.
It's necessary. Yeah.
Jayaji, I have a question.
One sec. Trupti, Padmaja, yes, go ahead.
No, I can wait. Whoever asked before.
No, it's okay. No, it's okay.
It's all right.
Say, Padmaja, you go ahead.
Okay, my question was that at one point we discussed that it's actually the ego that is experiencing all these. all the sugha dukkha, everything, the sadness, pressure. So, but at this point, we are talking only up to the level of jiva. Is that?
Jiva and ego are synonyms.
Okay.
Ego is the reflected consciousness, right? Jiva is also the reflect. That's why the theory of reflection.
Okay. Yeah. No, I asked it because we just use the term jiva here. So that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Because Bhagwan is explaining jiva, he's not saying ahankara, ego and all that.
Okay.
That is our masters have explained it to us that way.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Trupti.
I was also trying to understand when you said jiva, jagat and Ishwara. So Ishwara for us now to understand is the pure consciousness, right?
Yeah, he will explain that also.
No, because sometimes when we talk about Ishwara, then again, in the 13th chapter, that Ishwara
is
the reflected thing. I mean, it's not the pure Brahman. So
no,
just using those terms sometimes is confusing.
Ishwara is Jiva at the individual level, Ishwara at the totality level. Both Jiva and Ishwara are superimpositions. But for Balvihar, Ishwara is God. That's it. You don't go beyond Ishwara.
For Balvihar, you don't go.
But we have to understand, and this is what Bhagwan will explain, that you have the question, Jiva, Jagat, Ishwara. I explained to you Jagat, which is not there. I'm explaining you to you the Jiva, which is a part of me. But you think, can there be a part in infinity? So there is nothing like Jiva. And now he'll go to Ishwara and he'll say, really, can there be anything like Ishwara? There is only me. That is what he's going to say. It's only me and there's nothing else. So this is how it will end this chapter. Any other questions? Yes, Sudha. Sudha, you have a question? Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Anybody else?
Jayaji, I have one more question, Jayaji.
Yes.
So we chant Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachade. So isn't it the same concept that there is that Purna? We have the Purna. It's the same.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yasmina is not here, but I don't know. Sudha, do you know if on our website, if my Ishavasya Upanishad lectures are there? If you go on the Vancouver, they're there. If Padmaja, if you want to go on the Vancouver website, go to adult classes or lectures or whatever audio and see Ishavasya Upanishad. It is the first mantra that I have explained in detail.
Yeah.
So you can just listen to that first mantra. And our website, by the way, has been up to date and it's excellent. Okay. It's very easy to maneuver and everything. So please do visit. And next Monday, before I forget, there won't be a class because Swami Shramkrishnananda will be here. And Avadhuta Gita, it's starting on Sunday. For those who have not registered,